Welcome to the Barbell Strikes Back. I'm James McDermott, and today, Albany CrossFit Barbell Club team member Mike Mickery is joining me again on the show. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Not bad.
It's been a while since you've been on here, right?
Yeah, I think last time I was maybe going in for my back surgery, I think we did it before that, right?
Just before that. I have it written down. It was November 18th, 2020. That seems like forever ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quick, it feels like, but yeah.
Yeah, it is weird. I think looking at the number, I'm like, I don't remember that time. It's all fuzzy.
No,
but
like
it also seems like it has gone by pretty quick too.
Yeah, I feel like COVID just made everything go just super fast.
I know, it's weird now.
It was like just one big blur, it feels like.
Time has sped up, and when you think when you think back to dates, like I was looking through some of your old numbers in Wattify before this, just kind of poking around, seeing what they were. And I saw like 2019, 2018. And I'm like, that seems like it was 10 years ago. Like that doesn't seem like anything, you know, that was only like 4 or 5 years ago. It seems like forever ago.
Yeah, it feels like a while. Definitely.
I forgot that you have this professional podcast gaming setup too. I forgot all about this. No one else can see this, but your mic is on a tripod arm thing that's coming off from the wall behind you, and you have all this fancy padding, and here I am just at my kitchen table.
I upgraded like a lot of stuff since last time, because last time I had a different microphone. I got a whole bunch of stuff now.
I know, you sound all professional.
Yeah.
And the monitor too. How big is this monitor in front of you?
Oh, that's my third one. So I put it in portrait mode. So it's like sideways basically.
Oh, you tilt it up?
Yeah. Just cause I didn't have room because it like hits the wall. So yeah, that's the only reason. That's the only reason it's like that.
What? So you do semi-professional gaming, or just you're really into gaming that you have three monitors and you can see everything that's going on?
Well, my main one is my gaming one. And then for the second one, I have like Discord and stuff because I play with a bunch of people. So I can see like who's in like chat and who's talking and stuff like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There used to be something called IRC. And it was like almost like a live chat. Yeah, like a live forum chat. You could have like a channel. It would be, for example, at Albany CrossFit, and it would be IRC at Albany CrossFit. And everybody would be in the room and you could just chat. It's like a live forum.
Yeah, it's kind of similar. You can make like your own server, I guess. So it's basically the same thing, and then have people join. Or okay. you can like add people and just call them. It's kind of like Zoom kind of.
Oh, okay. I'm going to write this down to myself, a note here, to look up if IRC is still a thing, because I'm old and this was literally 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, it was 2003. That's when I was like gaming and getting into like clans and forums and stuff like that. So it literally was 20 years. Now you made me feel bad about myself. I started right feel bad. But I'm going to look that up. I'm going to see if it's still a thing. I just want to Google it and find out. We'll do that later. But so it's been an eventful week. On Monday, we did Memorial Day Murph, or should I say, I did it, but you also did it. And you've taken some time off of CrossFit because you've been focusing solely on weightlifting. How are you feeling right now?
Like after Murph or just in general?
After Murph.
I don't feel that bad. Like my lats and stuff were sore yesterday, but I feel like we like stretched them out and stuff from weightlifting. So I'm not too bad. My shins somewhat. Every time I run, I get like a little bit of like shin splints.
Yeah. Well, you're a weightlifter now.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be doing a lot of running often, but you know, on a special occasion, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, the only reason, the only reason I switched to weightlifting, I mean, I enjoy it more, kind of enjoy it more. But
is it a love-hate? Is it a love-hate relationship?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like when you miss stuff, it's just so super annoying. It's just so annoying, you know?
But does it help that everybody misses stuff?
Yeah, but I just want to make everything.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Is that a little bit of like, are you a perfectionist in any other aspect of your life? And like this kind of is bleeding over, or is this just a weightlifting thing?
No, it's definitely an issue. It's definitely an issue.
It's definitely a weightlifting thing.
I think a little bit of both, but like, I don't know, like this setup, I like pretty good. You know, I have it set up pretty good. So I make everything like perfect sometimes. It depends on what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, the desk looks, I mean, not to be judgy, but your desk looks a little messy right now. I see.
Yeah.
There's protein powder, just a random jug of protein powder. You're just on Discord chugging protein and Element.
Well, the protein powder is old. This is like 5 years old, I think. I just haven't thrown it out.
Oh my God. Throw it out. That's gross.
Well, it's empty.
Have you opened it?
Yeah, it's empty. It's empty.
Oh, you just have the jug?
Yeah, because I forget what I buy sometimes, and if I like it, then I keep it. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. I mean,
I should write things down, maybe.
Well, the hoarder in me understands why you're keeping the bottle, because I can think of 5 things to use that bottle for. Yeah. And the nice thing about a bottle like that is it's sturdy. Yeah. You can put a bunch of change in it, or markers, or whatever. You know, I struggle to get rid of my protein bottles too. But then the next thing you know, you have like 7 of them, and it's like, this is a problem.
Yeah, once they start getting in my way, I start getting rid of some, but some I keep. Like, I have some they don't sell anymore, so I kept those.
They're vintage collection now. You're gonna have them up on a shelf. Here's my animal animal protein powder beast blend circa 2018.
I was taking one, and they got sued because there was like metal in it or something like that. So I was I'll just keep that.
What protein powders are you buying?
I think it's the same company, actually. It's Jacked Factory. I think it's the same company.
Oh, all right. Well, shout out to Jack Factory. They're going to sponsor the show now with all their tainted supplements.
I mean, that's okay.
I'll take it. Fine. I won't physically take it, but I'll I'll take whatever endorsements they want to throw my way. But all right, let's go back. You're doing weightlifting now. You were doing CrossFit when you first joined Albany CrossFit. It was all about CrossFit, and this is also pre-surgery. So let's start at surgery, and then post-surgery, and that'll take us into weightlifting. So. Okay. Just if anyone listens to the old podcast, I'll definitely put a link in the show notes to that. But just explain to everybody, remind everybody what the surgery that you got was.
So basically my spine, I had scoliosis. So my spine was crooked 75 degrees to like, so really bad. Like
that's
a
lot of degrees.
Yeah. Like it was messing with my breathing. I didn't tell anybody that until like after though. So it was
I
like,
think I knew that.
Yeah, it was like, I told a few, it was like crushing my lungs and stuff like that, and just not great. So it took me a while to actually decide, you know, on like a doctor and what I wanted to do, to like just get my mind right, because it's a big, I mean, it's a big operation. So
what did they do? So tell people what they did.
So basically they just cut basically my whole back open and put 2 rods in, and I think 25 screws. I've never looked at the after x-rays. I just didn't want to see, but it's definitely 2 rods and a fair amount of screws.
Mm-hmm. You're just kind of like done with it mentally. You just don't want to look back on it, or
I don't want to look like
I'd be tempted to look.
I look at the before one sometimes, like how bad it was, and now you know, because sometimes like when I wore shirts before, like I would get like in my head like that, everyone can like see how bad my back was. So sometimes I'll get like that still, and I'll be like, no, like it's fixed. Like we're good.
Mm. Yeah. I do remember talking about this. Like I mean, you were a fantastic athlete with the scoliosis. Like it was crazy. You were able to overhead squat 165 pounds. You were able to bench press, I believe 205. And you could do muscle ups for days. You know, one of your old CrossFit nicknames was Muscle Up Mike. And it's like, you were like, is this how you do it? You're one of those people that is like, you're like, is this how you do a muscle up? And you do 5 of them in a row on the rings. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess that's what that is. And now your muscle ups are stronger than ever. So you had amazing fitness, amazing gymnastics, and very respectable weights. As well, you could snatch 60 kilos or 61. You could clean and jerk 85 kilos. And you, right before you got the surgery, you did 100 unbroken push-ups. That was one of the things we were like doing a little test before you left to see if you could finally do it. And you did it, right? Do you remember how long that took you?
Maybe like 2 minutes. It was pretty quick. It might have been it might have been faster than that, but it was definitely 2 minutes-ish.
And these were not cheating push-ups for anyone thinking that. These were full lockout. Mike locks it out, like overlocks it out. And also you used to like just crash your chest to the floor. Like you'd hit, it was alarming as your coach, but you just hit the floor so hard and you just busted out 100 unbroken push-ups. I don't know if anyone else in the gym has ever done that. To be
really
true, be truthful. Yeah, really? I don't think so. You might be the only one. I don't think Shai's done it.
Well, 150 is next then.
Well, yeah, I guess 150 is next, and then 200 unbroken during Murph is the next one.
Yeah, I tried so bad. Like I was struggling. I got 50, but after the pull-ups, it was rough.
Yeah, I mean, well, and also you haven't been focusing on that type of training for a bit. So, but it just, you had phenomenal fitness, like well above average fitness and strength and gymnastics before the surgery. And I remember it was a big decision like that you were thinking about, like, should I do it or should I not do it? But the other things, even with that level of fitness, it was affecting your sleep a lot, right? You used to say that you'd either be up all night or you would just randomly wake up at 2 and then you're up and you would never sleep, hardly ever. And it was crushing your lungs. And of course, there's how you feel about yourself too. What was the biggest thing that led you to make this decision out of all the things that were and how the scoliosis was affecting you?
The biggest thing was just, I just wanted to feel like normal. You know what I mean? Like when I went out, like even... like I went to, this is dumb, but I went to Great Escape once and it was like the swimming like area, you know, I have like separate things.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not taking my shirt off today. Like my back, like I just like mentally, I was like depressed in a way, you know, I was like, I can't do this forever. Like I got to get this fixed.
Yeah. Well, no, that's, I don't think it's dumb at all. That's how a lot of people feel that way. You know, you felt that way with your back. There's people out there that have bellies. And they feel that way. They're like, no, I'm not taking my shirt off, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you want to feel comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So you found the doctor, and I know you were also following some people on social media that you had seen were CrossFitters and they had done this surgery and they came back stronger, better than ever. Right.
Yeah, it was just one girl, actually. I was just like scrolling through like hashtag scoliosis, just like trying to find stuff on like Instagram because I was like nervous about it. I wasn't sure like just the after, like how mobility was going to be, if I was able to do anything, like just I wanted like some answers. So
yeah,
I saw this one girl and she had it done when she was like 11 or 12. She had it done really young because it was
super bad.
It was super bad, but they did her whole spine. So mine was not my whole back. But she was doing fine.
What degree was she?
I think 80, 85.
Or, so that's, yeah. For you, is it more, was it more thoracic spine?
So hers, well, mine was in the middle and it was like an S kind of.
Okay.
So yeah, it was just straight in the middle and it pushed to the right, like pushed out everything to the right. Hers was going inward. So it was going like, you know, toward like vital organs and stuff like that. So it had to be fixed.
Wow. Okay. All right. And I remember you showed me the videos of her deadlifting. She had a pretty strong deadlift, like 300 pounds, something like that.
Yeah. Crazy deadlift, muscle ups. So I was like, okay, like, you know, some people can do this stuff. So that was kind of like a pushover too for making my decision.
And I mean, it's a very brave decision because I personally would need to see more than one person, you know? Like idea, like show me the papers, show me this guy, that lady, let me see all the stuff, let me talk to those people. And you saw one person and you're like, I'm in, it works.
Yeah. Well, I messaged her. I was like, I messaged her on Instagram and I was like, I'm about to get this surgery. I'm thinking about it. Like any like tips or should I do it? You know, stuff like that. And she was just like, it's probably the scariest decision of your life, but you should just go with it because you'll be better mentally. You'll be better physically. Just you'll be just all around better. So,
yeah, definitely. And being able to breathe and sleep, those two things are game changers. Do you still talk to her?
I don't know if she actually still works out, because she was having seizures and stuff like that, but I think it was like a separate related thing. So
you should reach out to her and just to let her know that you did it right.
Well, after my surgery, so I was like drugged up, and I had my phone, and I messaged her after my surgery, and I was like, I was like, just got my surgery done, something like I feel better, or like way better about this or something like that, like thank you basically, and that's like all I said after.
Okay, well that's nice. Did she didn't say anything back?
I don't think so.
Okay, well hey, I mean you reached out, you closed the loop, so to say, because that would drive me crazy. I'd be like, I gotta tell them. You know, like or if someone reached out to me like that, I'd be like, I'd have to know, I have to find them, like did you do it, like how are things, you know. And because maybe you can bounce ideas off each other too, like during the recovery process.
Yeah, the recovery was rough. That was probably the hardest thing ever, I think.
Is that would you say that's the hardest thing you've ever had to do?
Yeah, that was, because like next day they make you walk, and that it's a rough, just everything is rough. The drive home, like any minuscule little bump is like the most painful thing on earth. Like
Well, and this was Christmas time too. Was it Christmas Day you had this surgery?
No, I had surgery December 21st.
Okay.
It was December 21st, and I went home Christmas Eve because I was like recovering like really well. And it was like on the dot for Christmas, basically.
Yeah. That's do you think, I think that the reason you recovered very well is because of your CrossFit training. Like CrossFit, when you think about it in terms of sickness, wellness, and health, the fitter you get, the more of a hedge you create against sickness. You know, something that might knock someone down, like a cold might bring someone down to like deathly ill, might just bump you down to like, well, I feel a little off today, you know. And I've noticed in the past where I had, you know, like maybe like a bruise or something, and it just heals crazy fast. And I think it's because of the type of activities we do and the way that we eat, although we'll talk about your eating more eventually. But just the amount of protein and everything. Do you think that your fitness level had anything to do with it? Did it surprise the doctors?
Yeah, like the anesthesia guy, when he was doing my anesthesia, he was like, "You're jacked," like like telling me I look like super fit.
What a nice compliment.
getting surgery. Yeah, yeah. And after my surgery, my surgeon came in and she was like, "You're doing better than everybody like I've ever done this on. So just don't worry about it. You're doing fine." So yeah, that's awesome. it was definitely a factor.
That's a testament to CrossFit and fitness and taking care of your body. That way, when you go through hard times, you'll rebound a little bit quicker. You're living proof.
Yeah,
you're living proof of a lot of things. We're gonna talk. We have some other things that we need to talk about that maybe you shouldn't be proof of. So you're back home. That I can't imagine being forced to walk after having my back opened up and rods put in there to straighten my spine. The last thing I would want to do would be to walk. I would just want to lay down for forever. What were those first steps like? And what did they tell you? They're like, you have to get up now. You're like, I don't want to get up.
Well, I wanted to get up, but the worst part is they turn you over like a couple hours after your surgery to check the cut. That's the worst. And then you sleep, forget about everything. The next day, you get up and walk, and they put like a belt around you so you don't fall. And we're doing like laps, and these people must have thought I was crazy because I kept saying like, I want to get back in the gym. I want to do deadlifts again. I want to do cleans, like stuff like this. And they're like, yeah. You're like, okay. Like,
didn't you just PR your deadlift not long before that too?
Yeah, I PR'd everything before, like I did everything I wanted to do before surgery, just in case.
Yeah, we went crazy.
Yeah, I went insane, just in case anything happened, or like I was comfortable with everything. So
you, I think it was what, 310?
Yeah,
That's when the lights went out during Barbell Club, right?
Yeah.
We got pictures of that on the Instagram page. But yeah, it's the level. That's a, I don't know if I would have thought about it that way. That's an interesting level of planning. Like, were you going through everything and setting PRs and doing all these workouts one more time, just in case, like, you wake up and you find out, like, they're like, hey man, sorry, you aren't going to be walking anymore.
Yeah, that was definitely a worry. Like, I kept reading like all the chances and like everything like that. I was like, all right, I'm just going to do everything before. Like, we did a weightlifting meet like three days before surgery, I think.
Yeah.
It was pretty close.
Christmas and kilos.
Yeah. And then, you know, I did like a PR clean. I did that last workout we did. I did the push-ups. I did everything. I did everything I wanted to do and just made sure I was good with it, you know?
Yeah, at peace with it.
Yeah, yeah, just in case.
Hey, yeah, it makes sense. You know, you would have gone through it, I guess, no regrets, right?
Yeah, because then I would have had those videos. We had videos. I could have looked back and, you know, I did this, whatever.
Yep. Which, by the way, we never redid the, quote, Mike workout. The one that had that 100 push-ups and all the bar muscle-ups and a five-minute wall sit. You made everybody do. It was your own custom workout. And we called it Mike, and you made everybody do 5 minute wall sit right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was great. I remember somebody screaming actually when we were doing the, I can't remember his name. He's not in the gym anymore.
No. Oh, I'm trying to think who would be screaming.
Yeah, a super big guy. He moved to, I think he moved to like Indiana.
Oh, Jason Kirby.
Yes, yes, yes.
Shout out to Jason
yes.
Kirby.
Yes. Yeah.
I think I remember, he moved to Tennessee.
Yeah. I remember him screaming on the wall sit, and I was sitting in my wall sit laughing.
Yeah, you're like, I did that. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you feel no pain. Like, things that used to be the worst, most brutal things for anyone else in the gym, you're like, oh, I like those, and I'm having fun. All these wall balls, yeah, my thighs are pumped.
Well, yeah, but before, I was already, like, walking into the gym, I was already hurting. I was already in pain. Like, everything hurt. So it was, I knew that the workout, once it was over, all that was going to go away, and I was still going to be in pain somewhat. So it was nothing really.
It's a very unique perspective on pain. And if you were to like be able to have that ability and like work out full time and become a CrossFit Games athlete and all this other stuff and sponsorships, that would be like a scary thing to have to go up against, where it's like, you're like the Hulk. You know, like in the Avengers movie when they're like, what's your secret? It's like, well, I'm always angry. That's how I control it. Like, Mike's just like, I'm always in pain. Like, this is nothing. On the assault bike, I laugh at the assault bike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, so you're back home. And how long was the recovery until you were able to get back into the gym?
It's honestly really foggy because I know how long it took, but like the recovery process, I started, I think a week after my surgery, I was healing pretty well. I started physical therapy. I did it for like 2 weeks, and like that's all insurance would cover because I just paid like a lot for the back surgery. So I did 2 weeks of physical therapy and just like wrote everything down. Like they actually, I think you told me actually to ask them for the stuff they were doing, and they printed it out for me. So yeah, I had that. And then I think a month after, maybe 2 months after, I came back into the gym. And like mentally, I don't know, walking into the gym, I was fine. But mentally, I was just like seeing everybody do everything that I used to do, like just made me like crazy, just made me like worse, I guess. I just got super depressed during this recovery. Like it was.
I remember this. Yep. We tried to get you to work at the gym.
Yeah.
Just so you could be around.
Yeah, it was a bad time. Like I had, like during that time, I had two family members pass away as well. So like, it was like the worst time ever.
Yeah, I had to weather some storms. I'm glad that you got the handout from the physical therapist. I mean, they'll do that for you, or they should be willing to do that for you. And if anyone's going to a physical therapist, it's not realistic to go in there and they're like, here's these 10 exercises, do them at home for blah, blah, blah. I'll send you an email, and then don't give you the pictures or videos or any of the other stuff. Cause I know the next time you go in, at least this was my experience, they're going to give you more exercises. How are you supposed to keep track of all this stuff?
Yeah. It's, Well, it was a lot when I went in. The first time it was like banded stuff. Like I was not going to remember anything. So it was, they were super nice people though.
Yeah. But what did they have you do?
The first time we did like, not stretches, but like just stuff to relieve my lower back, because so they fused everything in my back, like except like three vertebrae up top, maybe four, and my lower back is not touched. So they just showed me stuff to relieve like lower back stress and stuff like that. And basically just like, I don't know if it was RDLs with the band. I really don't remember. It was just a lot of band work and stretching.
So your lumbar spine is fused. Your thoracic spine is fused, except for a couple vertebrae up near the top.
Yeah.
And then of course your cervical spine is free. Did they fuse the lumbar to the thoracic, or is there a little wiggle room there?
I think there's a little wiggle room, but not much. I mean, as you've seen, I don't have that much mobility.
Oh yeah. It's not bending, and we're not trying to bend it. You know, no cat camels or cat cows for you. No Jefferson curls or anything like that. No skin the cats, back extensions, all that stuff's out. You know.
Yeah.
And we definitely have to watch it when. You know, when it starts to talk to you, we have to pull the plug.
Yeah, and it has been recently, but not much now. So hopefully we're good.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, we just need to keep getting smart with it, you know. And sometimes there's going to be those days where we're feeling hot, but it's like, all right, well, we can only go so far. Let's not go crazy. Yeah. There will be another day. There'll be another day to do this.
Yeah.
And every day is a blessing now because, you know, you went in not knowing what to expect when you woke up. And we're on the other side of it in a very positive way.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
So you went through, going through the recovery time, went through a little bit of a dark patch there. And then, how did you get past that, the depression and that rough spot?
Honestly, I just got back into the gym.
Hey.
Right. Yeah, I just got back into, like, because that's why I joined the gym in the first place, because my back was messed up. So, like, I started with, like, boxing and stuff like that. And then I switched to CrossFit. And I was feeling better. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to keep the gym in my life and then we'll be good. And then anytime we get like injuries, I get crazy. Okay. Cause I can't go. So I need to find like something else to do.
Yeah. Keeps you occupied. Keeps the brain going.
Yeah. I think the main thing was just getting back in the gym, getting fit again, you know, actually seeing that like I made a good choice because I was regretting my decision. When I came I was regretting my decision because when I came back to the gym, it's like, man, I can't do anything anymore. Like I can't bend anymore. I can't do anything. That's what I said to myself. And I was like, no, we can do a whole bunch of stuff. So
yeah, we just had to rebuild. We had to take it real slow and it was just going to take time, right?
Yeah. Like everything takes time.
So here we are in 2021 and you're back in the gym in 2021 or was it 2022 when you finally got back in?
I think it was 2022 when I officially like came back.
Yeah. There was like a brief stint before, but then you were fully back 2022. We took it slow. We got back into things. And then eventually you decided to go all in on the barbell club. You were kind of like just here and there in the barbell club before, right? You fully in?
I mean, I was in, but I was skipping days and stuff like that for CrossFit, or I would do like double and then I would go lighter in barbell club some days.
Yeah. And we were like geared towards like doing a meet, like get that checked off the bucket list.
Yeah. Yep.
What made you want to go all in on the barbell club? Be like, all right, let's try this weightlifting thing out.
Well, when I came back CrossFit, like certain stuff I couldn't do, like, just mobility wise, like. I just switched and barbell was less mobility. I mean, it's harder, I think. Well, yeah, it's less ish mobility. We don't do that much like crazy stuff. CrossFit is like crazy movement sometimes. So that's why
burpee box jump overs, dumbbell snatches.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus I was familiar with everybody in barbell club. So I joined as well. It's like, you know, happiness and stuff like that. Yeah.
Social.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we have fun. We have a good time. Barbell club.
Yeah,
gets a little crazy. Yeah. Well, so you're in barbell club, and like now, you're so far past the recovery process. Now, the muscles have filled in. right? Like that, I remember that was one thing that you wanted for a while, was like the back to fill in, especially with the lats.
Yeah.
And it, are we all the way there? Because you're pretty jacked now. Like if that anesthesiologist could see you today, you should just pop in one day and just start flexing. Like, who, you thought I was jacked before. You should see me now.
Yeah, I guess
there's a vein right now. I'm looking at it right now. There's a vein on your arm. Are you doing that on purpose?
What, my right arm? No.
Yeah, that right arm.
No. Oh, okay, that's just right. That's just there.
All right. No one else can see this but me. But like, he's like, arm is on the table, and as I'm talking about it, I'm noticing that there's this gigantic vein running down his bicep right now, and I'm like, he's got to be flexing right now that I'm talking about this. But it's just natural. All right.
Yeah, just naturally vascular.
What was I asking? I can't remember what I was asking.
I forgot.
Things have filled in now, and you've put on a serious amount of muscle.
Yeah. So I was going to say, when I went to my checkup recently, not for my back, from like my, primary doctor for like blood work and stuff.
Let the record show, I have been advocating to go and see the back specialist because I would.
Yeah. Well, I had an appointment, but you know, that's another thing. So they said I gained like 24 pounds since last time I was there, which last time I was there was my checkup for the surgery that they did, like EKG and stuff like that. So I gained 23 pounds in like 2 years, maybe something like that.
Yeah. Cause you lost a significant amount of weight after the surgery. It was substantial. You got the surgery in December, and then when we saw you again sometime that maybe fall or spring or whatever, you lost a lot of weight. How much weight was it?
So like literally right when I got home, I weighed myself because I was curious, because I felt like just deflated and like no energy. I was 140 pounds. So like I went into surgery like I think 160 maybe, and then after I was 140 pounds.
How did that happen? Like, it's like
I honestly think just water, like I don't know. I have no idea. Like they cut a lot of stuff out. I don't know.
I mean, well, yeah, they're moving things around, but you still have all the muscles.
I wasn't that jacked though. Like after, I was just super, super deflated. Like I was back to the point where I first started CrossFit basically. Cause when I first started, I was like 143 pounds, something like that.
Yeah. I think maybe it was so traumatic to see it like that fast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, it must have to do something with like hydration and blood loss or something like that.
Yeah, plus the anesthesia, everything, all the drugs they're giving you, so you're not eating. Like I wasn't eating. I was probably having like half a meal a day or something like that. I wasn't eating that much in the hospital. Yeah, I just had no appetite.
And now how much do you weigh?
Right now it's like 175.
Okay. So you're 81 kilo lifter.
Yeah.
Hopefully not going to be an 89 soon. although you have had this ability to fluctuate, you could be a 73 if you wanted.
Yeah.
Or comfortably an 81, which I think that's probably the best spot. Definitely not an 89. And you've put a ton of weight on your PRs for the barbell club lifts. Your snatch, we put on about 19 kilos. You just snatched 80 kilos the other day. And it was like 61, which I think that's the weight you hit at that meet. I think you snatched 61 kilos.
Yeah, the meet before surgery. Yeah.
Yeah, the meet before surgery.
Yep.
That was the Christmas and Kilos meet that year in Auburn, New York. You put on about 17 kilos on the clean and jerk. I think your PR was about 85 kilos, and now we're up to 102. So we've cracked that 100 mark. And 102... that's a significant like CrossFit number, because that's 225.
Yeah. Plus
that,
like 100.
That's the weight everybody wants to hit when they start CrossFit. They're like, I can't wait someday I clean jerk that.
Like the main thing for CrossFit for me was muscle ups. I always wanted to get muscle ups.
Yeah. Well, you had them. You were born with them.
I guess. Maybe. Yeah,
yeah. You must have been in the crib, you know, just doing them. Your front squat, this has been one of the biggest ones. You put 35 kilos on your front squat. I just looked it up. Your PR was like 74 kilos, which I don't even know what that is in pounds. Well, I got my Texas Instrument calculator here. 74 times 2.2. So that was 160. It's pretty much a 160 front squat. And that was a harder squat for you back then. It was interesting. And yeah. Now you just front squatted 300 pounds, 137 kilos. That's substantial.
Yeah. I mean, I remember we were doing barbell before surgery and we were doing front squats. And I remember just dropping the front squat weight. And I was like, just in so much pain. So yeah, going from that to like this huge weight, well, huge weight for me anyway, is pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's for the way your back is and everything you've been through, you know, it's a huge weight and it keeps going up too. Because not long before that, you had done 130 for, I think, 3 reps or so, yeah. And then maybe 135 or something for 2. So 137 for 1 is huge.
Yeah, that was a pretty big achievement for me. Like I had it like on my list.
That's on the list. Do you still have that list?
No, just mental
list. Oh, mental list. Wow. Wow. What else is on this list? I've never heard about this list before.
Just a few things.
A few things. All right. Yeah. Are we close to some of the other ones?
Almost. Oh. Almost.
Okay.
We got 100 for the clean. So, you know, right, snatches next.
Snatches. All right. Well, you're at 80. Is it 90?
We have a little ways to go. 95.
95 snatch. Yeah. That's what. Yeah. All right. We can get that. We made that happen. Tomorrow. No, I'm kidding.
Because I'm trying to qualify for like the Arnold. So I just want. I think the thing is like 203 kilos or something like that total. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yep. That's interesting. When Schaff first qualified for the Arnold, that was the qualifying total.
For 81?
Yeah, for 81. Yeah. He had to hit 203. Yep. That's all the way back when he was an 81 kilo lifter. Now we're 96.
96?
Other people have leveled up and on other things too, you know, over the last couple of years. Shout out to Schaff. He's going to listen.
Yeah.
I think he had to hit 112, I want to say, for his clean and jerk, which that was coincidentally also a Christmas and Kilos meet. We have history at Christmas and Kilos,
yeah.
our club. And he must have snatched like 91 or something. Yeah, 91, 112. So yeah.
Nice.
Well, that's an excellent goal. We will definitely work towards doing that because we want to get to the Arnold.
Yeah,
bring the entire crew out to the Arnold.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you can go out there and maybe Arnold will see it and be like, oh my God, you're jacked.
Maybe.
Be amazing. So we're making great progress on everything. And it is interesting, the back squat. The back squat's been a tricky one. How are you feeling on back squats?
I feel like I'm just not as comfortable because bailing out on the front squat is like easy. Like yeah. That's like... Mentally on the front squat, I just have to like stand up with the weight, you know, yep. Like that's the easiest thing. The back squat, I don't like, I've tried to bail on like 135 just to like, just for me. Practice. And it's rough. It's not great. Cause like the mobility is just not there. So I have to practice that or something, but mentally the back squat's probably the hardest just cause of that.
Do you think that also the fact that it's a spinal loaded movement has anything to do with it? Like maybe subconsciously you feel something a little bit different on that movement?
Oh, I definitely feel different on the movement. Yeah, for sure. Like just how the bar is like sitting on my back, like up top, like mid back is fine. It's just like the low back, like just on the way down for the squat is a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people down at the bottom of the squat, their hips might tuck under a little bit and you don't have that kind of probably rotation.
I don't
leads up in the low back.
Yeah, I don't think so. Plus, when they did my surgery, they moved my hips as well, because I had one hip higher, like 2 inches higher. So they moved everything.
They leveled them out.
Yeah, they leveled them out. My pelvis was like shifted, so they made it straight. Like everything was messed up.
You're like the $6 million man now. Do you know who that is? Steve Austin?
No.
It's an old TV show, and it was like a guy that the government, like, they made him, like, they gave him bionic legs, and they gave him, you know, like metal art, like he's, so he cost $6 million, which, if you think about it, it's not a lot of money today,
but yeah.
It was back then, so he's, like, they spent $6 million making him the perfect, you know, machine agent guy.
Yeah.
And that's, he can do all funny. These things, so you're the $6 million weightlifter, or maybe we'll have to bump it up to $16 million weightlifter. I don't know how much the insurance company was billed for this.
Yeah, they were maxed out.
They were maxed out. It's probably a lot. All right. Well, I mean, I know we tried sumo squats. That was a little better, right?
Oh yeah, those were really good.
You were crushing those. You sumo squatted more at one point than you had back squatted.
Yeah, those were super comfortable actually. Just because I think it's more, that squat's more of like a kettlebell swing kind of on the way up. I feel like I can use my hips more, like forward. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah, no, it does.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely gonna be a lot more hip dominant. You know, more hammies, more adductors.
Yeah, those were super comfortable. But I think the back squat is getting a little better now. Like, it's definitely lower. The back squat's definitely lower than before we started. Because before, it was like just at parallel.
Oh yeah. Your mobility is definitely different. Like when we're doing like pauses at the bottom of like an air squat or something, you're just completely upright.
Yeah, I literally have no choice.
Yeah. It looks like aesthetically like the perfect squat, you know.
Yeah.
You're just like you are completely perpendicular with your torso to the floor. Like it's just completely there.
Yeah. It's like it's so funny. It's like a Men in Black episode. Like they do like the X-ray thing. It shows like the alien form inside the human.
You have an alien form inside. So things are improving. Like we have made huge progress in the gym. And you just feel stronger, and now you can sleep. Now you can breathe. How has the breathing been? How are the lungs like when you're attacking Metcons now?
Yeah, that's a big one. Like on Murph, like we just did Murph. That was great. I could actually get deep breaths in. I was like, yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, the workout's still hard, but at least you can.
Yeah, yeah, the workout's still hard, but I remember doing like we would do like 15Ks and like running all the time in CrossFit. And you would always be like, you all right? Because my face would be like beet red. Struggling to breathe. Like, yeah.
Like, I'm going to have to carry him back. How am I going to do this?
Never. It never happened.
Yep.
I always made it.
Nope. Never happened. And you went for those long runs. You'd be beet red.
Yeah. Dying.
Back in the old 330 days, it'd be you, Kayla, Jen, everyone out there. Yeah. Those were good days.
Yeah.
Good days back in the old days. But here we are, we're jacked, we're able to recover and move efficiently, and we have these goals in weightlifting. We're accomplishing some goals. We got this 300 pound front squat. We're getting closer on things like the snatch. We've accomplished some clean and jerk PRs, and we're going to keep pushing those. And we have this goal of the Arnold. Are those the main goals for weightlifting
for right now? Yeah, I mean, it'll probably go beyond that eventually, but yeah, for right now that's the goals.
First we get to the Arnold, then we win the Arnold, then we we get to the AO, we get to Nationals, world team, the whole thing. We're not gonna stop.
Yeah, but right now I'm pretty happy with where we're at, like recovery wise and just everything.
Yeah,
because I thought I would never like be back in the gym and stuff like that.
Yeah, how does it make you feel looking back at that, like if you like reflect? I can't imagine when you're sitting in the hospital bed and those thoughts are going through your mind, and then you kind of like fast forward, like really, really fast, like on the videotape, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're snatching 80 kilos. That's got to be cool.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty cool. Like when I was in the hospital bed, the TV didn't work, so all I had was like my phone, and I was just watching like Goggins the whole time, like in the hospital bed. And I was like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're just like, because I was feeling sorry for myself. And I was like, no, we're doing all the things that I want to do right now.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's probably a good motivational thing to watch if you're in that kind of situation, because he's just going to pump you up. He's like, stay hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like he ran 100 miles with two broken feet. Like he's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Just like me.
That's a whole other thing. You're like the weightlifting Goggins. Wow. Now, we just did a meet. And we had a little bit of a setback.
Yeah, a little bit.
The Central Weightlifting Regional. Shout out to Sona Weightlifting, CrossFit Sona, Frank, our team member. He's probably going to be listening. We didn't post a total that day.
No.
Found out. It happens. Yeah. It happens. It happens to everybody. It's a part of the sport. Take me back to that moment and the series of clean and jerks. What was going through your head? What were you thinking as we were like, what one lift was slowly trickling away? All right, I missed that one. Now I missed this one. Now, oh my gosh, there's one more. What was, take me back to that moment.
Well, honestly, I didn't feel that bad on the day. Like, I felt pretty good. Like, I wasn't sore. And maybe that was the issue. I wasn't sore. So maybe
we felt too good.
Yeah, maybe I felt too good. I don't know. I felt pretty good. Like, warm-up wise, I hit all the warm-ups. I was like, all right, it's only, I think we did like 73 for opener. So I was like, I did 70. I was like, all right, it's only 3 kilos. Like, I'm fine, I guess. And then I went out, did the first one, missed it. I was like, all right, time for the second one. So did the second one. And I wasn't really thinking about bombing out. I was just like there, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. It was just a weird day, I think.
That's good that you weren't thinking about it. Like for me, when I bombed out, I like when I got the two, I was like, oh great. You know,
yeah.
Like here we go. Like, and I just had no confidence going into the last rep that like it was maybe going to happen, you know. But it's good that you weren't overly focused on it. You were just like, I'm just here in the moment. Every lift is its own island.
Yeah. And like, I was just happy to be there, to be honest, because, you know, I'm just happy to be weightlifting again. So,
yeah,
I wasn't really thinking even after like the last lift, I was like, all right, clean and jerks, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't really, you know, it happens to every lifter. So,
yeah. Well, and you have this unique perspective that others might not have. Other people might be pretty bent out of shape. You know, I've seen people cry after bombing out and how stressed and nervous people get. Like if they're on their last snatch or clean and jerk and they have to make this one, you know, but for you, you're just like, I'm just happy to be walking, you know, happy to be breathing, doing all this stuff. So it's like, it's all you get to do this. It's an opportunity.
Yeah. Like I was just there chilling out with everybody. So it was a fun time, I think. Yeah. And I think if you miss a lift, you can only get better from there, right? So kind of you can't have like success all the time because then it'd be kind of boring.
Exactly. Like this has to spice it up. It makes the journey interesting.
Yeah. And then it motivates you a little more to do a little more than before.
I did a podcast with Haley, Miguel, and Schaff after the regional, and I forgot to press record. So that is, we had a great conversation. We talked about a lot of things, and I don't know what happened because normally it auto records. Maybe I didn't hit the button for it to auto record, and I didn't notice that it didn't say recording in progress on Zoom. But that is like the lost episode. But during that episode, we talked about this, and I said, this makes Mike more dangerous now. Mike is going to come back stronger than ever. You know, that next meet, he is going to destroy that next meet. It's going to be crazy. Just because like you're going to come back, just like you're going to learn from this. You're going to have a goal now. You're just going to be so much more focused, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great time. I'm definitely more motivated, I think. I don't know. On that day, I think we just didn't want it as much. Like I wasn't as motivated, maybe.
Oh my goodness. You know what, Mike?
Oh yeah.
The Central Regional Open, that was Rocky 1. The next meet you do, that's Rocky 2. That's when you win the belt. That's what that's the one where at the end you're screaming Adrian, like the whole thing. That's gonna be great. All right.
Rocky 2 when he was like in the winter? He like went out into the winter cabin, or was that 3?
That's 4.
That's 4? Oh, okay.
That's in Russia against Drago.
Vermont. We have a long ways to go.
We're not there yet. We're not there.
We have a long ways to go.
Then. Yeah, we have a long ways to go till we have like a villain that we're battling against.
Some Russian villain.
Yeah, Russian villain. Or maybe Miguel would have finally completed his full formation into his villain, and then it'll be Miguel that you face in the fourth movie.
He gets to 81 weight class somehow.
Oh gosh, I hope this doesn't mean that I die in the third movie. Oh gosh. All right, let's enough with the Rocky analogies. This has gone too far. This has gone too deep.
Different movie.
But you have a great outlook on this. You know, it's just, this is part of the game. You know, you're gonna lose matches. You're gonna throw an interception. It's what it is. We just bounce back. We know those are weights that you can hit on any given day. And if you watch the video for that first 73, it was there. You had it locked out. Did you drop it? This was what I was thinking internally. Did you drop it because you felt your back? It just wasn't stable enough to kind of hang on and hold it?
Yeah, I had it overhead and I was holding it. And like holding overhead for me is probably the hardest thing right now, just because everything is like, it just... I don't know. Once I get overhead, stuff just starts like getting hot, like a pinched nerve and stuff like that. Yeah, sometimes
we don't want that.
So I felt the lower back and I was like doing like the back and forth thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just dropped it and I was like, I'll get the next one.
Yep. Good call. That is the preferred call. You know. And then the second rep looked more like a legitimate miss. It was just more of like a, just didn't put enough into the lift, you know?
Yeah. And then the third one was like super fast. So I just didn't get under it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Which, shout out to Miguel. This was Miguel's second time coaching at a meet, and it was a PR for him on coaching three athletes versus two.
Yeah.
The first time he made his coaching debut at the Hudson Valley Regional Open, he coached you and Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
And now this time it was you, Schaff, and Haley, and he bumped you up a kilo. He wasn't going to let you die on that 73.
Yeah.
And I was happy about that. I was happy about it.
Well, I went over and sat and he was like, what are you thinking? Like, should we just go up just to see? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I mean, if we miss it anyway, we're going to be missing 73. If we miss 74, we're going to be missing anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Same result.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So may as well try.
Like, let's put on 81.
Maybe we would have got it, to be honest. Maybe it was too light.
You know, maybe that's not completely out of the conversation because your power snatch PR is 70.
Yeah.
And we were opening up at 73. And, you know, like, we haven't done a lot of competitions to like fully flesh this out yet, where it's like, all right, where can we stress things on the weight and push things on openers and have it be okay, like in game mode, you know, the mentality of a beat, you know, the nerves, things like that. Cause like when you came back and did the Hudson Valley Regional, there were a little bit of nerves there, you know, and we opened lighter there, get the singlet back on, step on the stage.
Yeah, that one was definitely, I think, the hardest because it was the first one back and I was like thinking about getting injured and stuff like that. Mm. Like that was in my head the whole time. And then I made the first one. And I was like, all right, like nothing hurts. I feel great. So we did that.
I'm glad you didn't get injured. That was Miguel's coaching debut again.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have been good motivation for him.
He's great at coaching. He's fantastic.
He's killing it. He's doing great. Now, you were going to do the state championships in 2022, but you were away. You're in the Philippines.
Yeah, I was.
And a couple of days before the meet, you're like, all right, I'm coming back and I'm going to be on like these 48 hour, 72 hour flights and boat rides and all this stuff, traveling across the world, super jet lagged. I'm going to get there like the day I have to lift or a day before I lift. And I'm going to drive all over the place to get to BAMP to New York. And we decided, how about you just stay in the Philippines and just enjoy your vacation?
Yeah.
Which I'm glad that we did that. What was it like lifting abroad?
When I went to the gym and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So I was looking for a CrossFit gym, like barbells and stuff. And I think they're just so hard to get there or just expensive maybe. Cause you know, they don't have a lot of money where I was anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't go to like a resort. I was like in the
villages.
I was like in it. Like there was no, like I was the only white person. So there was no one. So were they
fascinated by you?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, I got blonde hair. So they all wanted to like touch my hair and stuff like that. And they asked my name, wanted to know where I was from. Yeah. It was kind of crazy.
You're like a celebrity.
Yeah. In a way. The not so fun part was like getting boat rides and stuff like that because they jack the prices up if they see you. You know what I mean?
Oh.
They're like, oh, he has money. So I had to like wait in the car, like all the tinted windows until people got the tickets. And then I would come out and I'd be like, yeah, damn.
You're like, surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. So the gyms there, they had a boxing gym, like a Muay Thai gym, which I went to. And then they had a bodybuilding gym with like a Smith machine, like free weights. So basically like what we do on day four with the free weights and stuff, I was just doing that just to stay fit. I was doing like snatches and stuff like that, looking crazy in the gym because nobody was doing anything like
dumbbell
that.
Snatches?
Yeah. Yep. Just to keep mobility and stuff.
Was it hot and humid there?
Yeah, but I loved it. It was so good. It was like today's hot, like times that by two there.
Oh my.
Like
I would hate that.
You wake up sweating.
No.
Like it's the best. I love it.
I bet there's no air conditioning, right?
The gym had air conditioning, actually. But it was like all open. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of how a waste. Much it did.
Yeah,
it's kind of a waste.
But not like where you were staying.
No, where I was staying, there's none. Yeah.
Okay. See, I wouldn't be able to sleep. I would be, I'd feel so awful all the time.
They had
one of my least favorite things ever is when you take a shower and you get out and you're like, well, I'm sweating again and feel awful.
Yeah, well, that was another thing. There's like no running water. So like,
oh man,
I had to like go get the water from like, they have like a fountain that like actually has running water, like a little block away. So you get it, fill a bucket, bring it back basically, and like just wash yourself with like that water.
Wow. So not, no shower. It's kind of like a sponge bath.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Unless when I was in like the big city before I went there, went to the other town, there was hotels that had running water. But that's basically it.
That's cool. Hey, it's a unique experience that
a lot of us
spoiled Americans don't have, you know. It definitely probably gave you a good perspective on like, wow, like how fortunate we are over here.
Yeah. Yeah. And like what we have and stuff like that, you know. Like people are mad about like the car they have and people over there don't have anything. Like they have a little scooter.
Yeah.
It was definitely a humbling experience, but I kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a little bit more than maybe somebody else would.
Well, it's a great, great experience again, you know, being so young and doing that. You made some friends?
Yeah, I'm a bunch. They all added me on Facebook. I think like 60 people, maybe 100.
The whole town.
Yeah, just like random.
You're like the mayor now.
Like, well, the funny thing is when I was going to the bodybuilding gym, there would be no one there. Like it'd be empty when we got there. And then one girl would show up and like I would see her on her phone. And then like the gym literally just packed instantly. I was like, oh God.
She's like, he's here. He's here.
Yeah.
He's gonna take off his shirt.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was the craziest thing. And then we would leave and literally everybody would clear out of the gym. Like they had no idea.
Did they take pictures with you?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I showed maybe 3 weeks before I left, because the gym was getting like renovations, like cleaning and stuff. So we were going to the boxing gym, me and my friend, I guess, showing me around and stuff like that. He's like 13. So I was showing him how to do like stuff in the gym. I bought him like a year membership for the gym we were going to. So before I left, I was like, so you like going to the gym? You know, I showed you all this. I bought him a year membership. Which That's is like awesome. A lot. It's like a lot to them. So I wanted to do something nice. And then the boxing gym, I showed the one guy holding like pads for me, like, you know, so I was like punching and stuff like that. I was doing overhead squats with their little barbell they had. It was like the, you know, in CrossFit, they have like the half barbell for the competitions.
It was like that. Ones.
Yeah, it was like that. So they had like one set of kilo plates, like blues. I think it was like 60 kilos maybe. I was doing overhead squats and they wanted to know what I was doing. So I showed them with the bar how to do like an overhead squat and they kept calling me crazy because I guess they never seen someone do that in their gym before.
Yeah. Hey, you could open a CrossFit gym out there.
That's what I was thinking. They don't have one.
Yeah, they don't have one. Wow. And wow, you have the whole village there and everyone.
Yeah. In that part where I was, they have a CrossFit gym. But it's a boat ride. It's like an 8-hour boat ride. That's where the last place I was at.
Quite that was CrossFit side.
Sirigao. Yeah.
Cool.
And that place is super nice. And they had like just rebuilt it because a hurricane like took it all out.
All right. So, maybe that's a reason not to open that.
Yeah, but it's all open. So it's like 110 degrees and you're doing CrossFit workouts in this place. It's a different experience.
I would be very worried in this part of the world where you are. Like, I have enough issues with the small spiders that come into here that I'm fighting all the time that you hear me complaining about. I can't imagine what is crawling around where you were. What did you see?
I didn't see that many snakes. I really hate snakes. Like, hate snakes. If I see a snake, I'm running. I'm getting on the flight instantly.
I'm surprised. I would have thought that there would have been.
Yeah.
Like, all
I guess I didn't see any snakes. And I asked, like, they joke around me. I asked, like, if they had, like, alligators and stuff like that. And they were like, oh, we tried, but we hunted them all. We ate them all. So we don't have any anymore. It's like, oh, okay. So the Sirigao. Hey,
better than you.
Yeah. So the Sirigao place, we were staying at one of their friends' house. Like, it's a pretty nice house. And the bathroom had this huge spider. I mean, like the size of my hand. Like, literally the size of my hand.
No.
And it's like right next. Oh, I couldn't. I didn't kill it. It's like gigantic. It probably would have threw whatever I threw at it back at me.
Yeah.
It
was, I mean, yeah, was, that's.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fight it, not kill it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, it was gigantic. That was like the only thing I saw. And maybe mosquitoes. Mosquitoes were pretty bad, but not like America. America, you get hit with mosquitoes, like a lot of bites. Over there, not so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they got other things to attack.
Yeah, I mean, they have like, you know, sickness and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Wow. What was this, a tarantula?
No, it was like a big gray, like, spider. I don't know what it
somehow
was.
Somehow that makes it worse that it was gray, it was, not black.
Oh my, it was gigantic.
Furry?
So I was, yeah. So I was like going to the bathroom, like looking up at the spider, just making sure it didn't move. Like, I would not have
been able to go to the bathroom. There's no way I'm gonna be in there with that thing just keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. Like, if I just look at it, it's not gonna jump at me.
It's looking right at you with all of its millions of little eyes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to smush it, because have you seen those videos on Instagram when I smush the spider and like all the baby spiders come out? Yeah, so that's what I was thinking of. So I was like, I'm not touching this thing.
You're just covered in them. Did you ask anyone what in the world is the monster that you're keeping in the bathroom?
Yeah, so the lady that owns the house, which, you know, she was happy that I was there. I was asking, you know, where do we kill the spider? Or she's like, oh no, that just stays in there. That's just part of the house.
Like, yeah, okay. that's Fred. He lives here.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
So they know this spider. This is a known spider of being just a tenant in the house.
Yeah.
And it just hangs out in the bathroom.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
that would be the most stressful bathroom session of my life. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. I guess it makes sense. I told you how I'm trying to be more harmonious with some spiders around here, the ones that jump around and they're fun.
Yeah, but the ones that are trying to like get actually outside again.
Yeah, they're trying to get outside. They're like tiny, like the little wolf jumping spiders. Some people I've seen keep types of those spiders as pets. And the more I watch those videos, the more I'm like, all right, I'll be cool. But like, not what you're talking about. That's a line
at that. Yeah, that thing was like, terrifying.
It's like, let's get the... it's like that scene in Predator when they're like shooting the jungle and mowing it down. It's like, that's what you need to do in that situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Are you planning on going back?
I don't know. Not for a while. Because if I'm going to go back, I'm going to stay longer, I think. But they did.
You were gone all summer. Like, you did the Hudson Valley Regional, and that was in what, June?
Yeah, I think it was June. And I left in June, I think.
Yeah.
I think I left like June 23rd, maybe. And I came back. When did I come back?
After
July?
States? After, no, September.
Yeah, September. Yep. I came back like September.
You were supposed to come back a couple times, and then you kept extending the trip.
Yeah, I extended my stay. And they gave me a problem with my passport when I came back, because I guess I wasn't supposed to. I went to like a sketchy place to like do the passport. The guy was like, it was like a legit. Well, I thought. I mean, I don't know.
Wait, in America?
No, in the Philippines. I went to like the mall, and upstairs they have like an armed guard outside this place, and I went in and I was like, I want to extend my stay like a month and a half. And the guy was like, okay, 2,000 pesos. So I gave him 2,000 pesos. He stamped my passport. And I was like, he's like, you're good. I was like, that's it? He's like, okay. So I asked him how long I could stay for. And they said 3 years. So you could stay up to 3 years there if you wanted to, I guess.
Wow. According to some random guy who's like, yeah, you can stay.
According to this guy, yeah.
But like if someone walked into a gym, they're like, can I stay? And I'm like, yeah, you can stay. Yeah. What is in US dollars, 2,000 pesos?
I think like 20 bucks.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I took a picture. I had like a wad of cash. I had, because I brought $1,000 with me, because I was like, this is just like cash. Like, I'll just have cash because I don't want to use my card here. Like, I'm not sure if they even take card, which they didn't, unless you're in like a city like Cebu. So I had $1,000 that lasted me like a month. But $1,000 USD is 55,000 pesos there. So I had like a lot.
Wow.
And then I transferred myself another 1,000. So I had like 100,000+. So just, yeah,
out there loaded in the Philippines.
Yeah. So I had like a little fanny pack with like all my cash in it, like just like strapped to me, because
that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, but I didn't want to leave it anywhere.
Yeah, that's too.
The lady I went with said, don't leave your cash anywhere. Just like keep everything on you. The passport I was most worried about, like every day, like I would have like an anxiety attack about the passport, like not losing it. Yeah. That was like the only thing.
Wow.
The place where I was pretty safe. Like everybody knew everybody. Like I got introduced to like the whole town. So like everybody was super nice and friendly. The cities are what you got to worry about, like Cebu and like, you know, Manila, stuff like that, because they'll like slice your backpack open and you won't even know it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you hear those stories too about like when people are trying to go home or go to the airport or something, and like they put stuff in your bag and you don't know.
Yeah. So we had to tape our luggage. I had to like plastic wrap my luggage and put like a strap around it, because in the Philippines, I don't think they do it anymore, but they got caught. So they were putting a little 22 bullet inside like foreigners' luggage and like getting a bribe from them so they didn't go to jail in the Philippines.
Oh, like the TSA agents. Yeah. Like, what's this?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
I can help you out with that, you know, yeah. This misunderstanding. Yep. Wow. You're
like I can make this go away for like 20,000 pesos. Yeah. Yep.
Man, that would suck. Wow.
So I'm happy I didn't go by myself, because I wouldn't have done that. I want to take my luggage and all this stuff. So I learned a lot. It was really fun.
You went with family, right?
Yeah, family.
Okay, that's good. Huh. And you got a tattoo out there.
Yeah, I did. That was interesting too, because it wasn't planned.
it's a full. What is it? Is there such a thing as a leg sleeve?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do my whole leg, but I didn't have time.
Uh-huh. So you just did calf and below.
Yeah, it's like calf and like up to my knee. It like ends at my knee. So a half knee sleeve or half leg sleeve.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. All I know is arm sleeve. Or
yeah,
I guess I don't know the terminology at all.
I always do the weirdest stuff.
Google that.
Yeah, I always do the weirdest stuff. So,
well, it's a cool tattoo. Describe what it is.
It's so it looks like swirls in it, but it's supposed to be water. It's like an old Japanese like traditional tattoo, like kind of what the Yakuza used to do. So I did that with like cherry blossoms and
like a koi pond.
Yeah, somewhat like that. It's more of like the ocean. I was gonna do koi for the second tattoo.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So the cherry blossoms kind of represent like shortness of life, like kind of live every, like, so like to me it's like live every moment, like, no, like live it. Like just be alive.
Be so that's present.
So that's what I got it for.
That's cool. That's cool. And now we know that you're into Yakuza. Had no idea, but now we know. Hopefully our club is connected.
The tattoo guy was super nice. It was like a friend of my grandmother's sister. So yeah. We did the tattoo like inside of his house, basically.
Was he pumped? Like he's like, oh my goodness, like you're like Brad Pitt out there.
And yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, he's coming over to my house. I'm gonna tattoo him. You know, was he all excited about it?
Yeah, he was super excited. Well, when I showed him, he thought I was gonna get like a small, like, you know, tattoo. I was like, no.
But
no,
you wanted work done.
Yeah, I'm getting like
it's not just one side of your calf or anything.
Oh, yeah,
it's the whole skin. It's like 360. Whatever wrapped around.
Yeah. So he was like shaving my leg up. You got to get all the hair off your leg and stuff like that. And he was making a joke that he was going to save all the hair. Yeah. It was a fun time.
He does have it. He's selling it.
No, he threw it out.
Oh, okay.
He had like a bunch of awards though. So it wasn't like just a random, you know, guy doing a first tattoo. He's been doing it since he was like six, he said. Uh-huh. So, I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Well, he was shaving your leg.
Yeah, yeah. So it took like 11 hours to do. So one session, which is not many people would do that. I don't think anybody would do that, actually. No. For a half a leg.
You do a lot of things that a lot of people wouldn't do.
Yeah, it was I fell asleep for the side of the leg. I actually fell asleep, which is pretty nice. And then I woke up when they started tattooing like the bone. And yeah, that was the shin. Yeah, the shin was rough. Gosh.
It's so thin there.
The shading was so bad, but it was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, yeah, you're so far off from it now. You know, it's totally
and worth it. Timing was great because once we finished, so they have blackouts in the Philippines, and they're like not planned. They don't tell people that they're gonna have a blackout to like, you know, do power stuff or repair something. So the power just goes off. So my tattoo finished, and literally 2 minutes later, the power just shut off. Wow. He was like, wow, great timing. The tattoo guy said, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it, things like that always make you think, like, what if you were slower at one other thing throughout the rest of the day?
Like, yeah,
you
like
stare at the spider for just two extra seconds.
Yeah. This was in the other town. So I was all over the place.
Oh, that spider's there too. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
You can't see them, but they can see you.
Yeah. It was such a great experience. I met a senator and a governor there too.
Oh yeah, I remember this. Yeah, how'd that go?
So the senator was where I got the tattoo in that town. He was super nice. Like invited me to their house and stuff like that. We had like beer.
Purely because you were the American in town.
Yeah. So like he was like first time in the Philippines, like tradition. Like we gotta treat you like, you know, you're our family, basically. So like they fed me and stuff like this. Like it was great. And then in Surigao, the governor, like we were thinking about going island hopping, but it was actually kind of expensive. It was like maybe 40,000 pesos to go island hopping, like 35,000. So like $650 maybe, plus wow, more people were going to go. So yeah. So basically this guy rented a whole boat for all of us to go. And had like a pig roast, like a whole like plate of food, like a whole table basically on this other island that we boated to basically for me. Yeah.
It sounds like you were in paradise. I don't even know why you came back.
I wasn't going to come back. I'm not going to lie. I was feeling great.
I know. You're like living it up. I you told me bits and pieces while you were away and then you kept extending your trip and I think I told him, I'm like, yeah, just stay there. Like, just, just like, I mean, you're so young. Just, this is a enjoy it, right? Enjoy.
Yeah. I would have loved to stay. If I go back, I will literally fly into Surigao because that was where I had my most like fun. Like they have like the nicest water. Like the water is so clear. You can see like the bottom of like the ocean. Like it's crazy. Plus they got the CrossFit gym there, which, you know, I was telling the person there, they thought I was crazy. I was like, no, I just want to come for the CrossFit gym. I don't really care about the ocean. I just want to come here and work out.
Start a barbell club in the Philippines.
Oh, at that CrossFit gym?
Yeah, at that CrossFit gym. There you go.
They didn't have a barbell. They didn't have a barbell club there, so maybe.
Hey, Surigao weightlifting. Surigao barbell club. Wow.
Not a bad idea.
Are you going to go back there for your next big trip or are you thinking, well, let me try a different part of the world, see what happens?
I really want to go to Japan. Japan, I would love to go to and get like an actual, like basically banned tattoo because they don't like tattoos in Japan. So you would have to go to like some creepy spot and get a tattoo.
You want to go to Japan to break the law?
Yeah. I want to get a tattoo in Japan. That's like a goal. That'd be amazing.
All right, go to the Arnold number 2.
Yeah.
Crimes in Japan. Got
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a crime. Well, not so much a crime in the Philippines, but when they hire you for a job in the Philippines, they like strip you down like a weigh-in and like see if you have tattoos because they have a problem with like gangs and stuff there. Well, they don't like tattoos either.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I feel like in Asia, tattoos are like, you know, frowned upon.
Associated with like gangs and criminals and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, even here, there's like a negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, like you see a guy with a tattoo on his face, you're like, I wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
You know,
but also, like,
The closer to the head I feel is where people start to like get uncomfortable.
Yeah. But, like if I see like a neck one, I'm like, eh.
Yeah. And you know that hurt when they got it too.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
But if I were to go back to the Philippines, I would probably stay longer. Like at least I would probably stay half a year, I think.
Yeah.
That'd
I wonder
be
what
like,
it's like there, like in the winter.
Well, it's not winter, I tell you that.
Well, but I mean, like when like the seasons change, because you went in Philippine summer.
Kind of like the rainy season. Actually, it rains pretty often there, and their storms are crazy. There was like an earthquake there, which I thought was pretty cool. Everyone was freaking out, and I was like, "Oh, this is pretty good. This is pretty fun."
Like snapping photos.
Yeah. They had like an earthquake. They had like a mini tornado, kind of. There was like a little shop up the road that got like literally blown away into the water because it was so windy. So I went like stormy season ish, but it was still really hot. It was like 115, 110 almost every day.
And humid.
Yeah, muggy. Super, super humid. Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, if it's what you enjoy, if it's your goals and is in your heart, do it. Have fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're here now.
Yeah.
You're here for the moment, doing weightlifting, doing CrossFit, killing it. We're having a great time. We got meets coming up, state championships. I don't know about any other meets on a thing. Well, actually, yeah, who knows? Next year, tell me, I'll be in the Philippines by the time state championships comes around.
No, I won't go back for a while. Maybe like 2 years.
Okay, all right. So we got 2 years.
Get my strength up.
Get the strength up even more. Qualify for the Arnold. Accomplish all those goals. And then you're going to go back. You're going to start a barbell club in the Philippines. And you'll be the mayor just because, you know, why not? Or the governor. Maybe the president.
Oh, maybe.
I can see it. You fly out the rest of the barbell club out.
Oh, that'd be so fun. That'd be such a good trip.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
been,
no problem.
Good to catch up and to fill everybody in on the story, the epic saga of just things with your back, but also your world travels now. Like, look at all that's happened post, you know, November 18th, 2020. It's crazy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, before, if I didn't get my back fixed, then I probably wouldn't have gone, to be honest.
Really? You think so? Just because of self-confidence?
Yeah, yep. I feel like right now I'm like super, like I'm like way up here with like confidence. Like I'm like crazy. Before I was super, super low.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest with you, you smile a lot more now.
Yeah. Yeah. Shaf was saying that to me.
Oh, he was? Yeah. Like you smile a lot more now. I definitely noticed that. You used to laugh before, you know, I mean, I am hilarious, But you smile like rant, like you're just generally cheerier, you know, like before I think it was like, you just seem so tired all the time, you know, and like being in pain all the time makes you just feel run down and tired all the time, you know? So definitely have noticed that.
Yeah. I 100% like before I was like miserable basically.
Yeah. Well, and now you're happy, Mike. We like that. We like Happy Mike.
Yeah, we're great.
Mike 2.0.
Yep.
$6 million Mike. Awesome. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on. Where can people, and we'll have to get you back. We got to get you back on. We got to get you back on when like other people in the crew are on and we can talk about things. And
we
need to have like some kind of a Mike's diet intervention talk.
No. Thing. I'm on a diet now, so we're good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're on a diet. Yeah. All right. Real quick. For people that don't know, Mike will come to Barbell Club and he's like, and I'll be like, what did you eat today? He's like, a dozen donuts. And it's like, okay, great. But like, who does that? Who eats a dozen donuts and can get through a dozen donuts? Like, we're talking what, a Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme?
Dunkin' Donuts, just like glazed or like, you know, assortment.
Just an assortment of something you would buy for the office. You know, because you're driving to work one day. You're like, you know what? I'm going to be the guy that brings in the donuts today. I'm going to make everybody happy. And Mike goes and gets that box and eats them all. Like, are you just sitting there just over the box, just eating them fast? Is it slow? Like, I'm trying to picture what's happening.
When I eat a lot, it's like just a random thing. Like, it'll be a day where I just can't get full. So I'll just be like, all right, this is going to be a good day. So I go and get donuts. I'm like, I finish them all. It probably takes like 15 minutes, which is not, I mean, it takes a while. That's a long time. That's a long time for donuts. I mean, there's people that could do that in like three. So really, yeah. So I'll do that.
Well, I mean, you're not competing.
No.
You ever thought about doing competitive eating?
No, they're too good.
Hey, if you train, you could be good.
No, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I'm so unhealthy.
Yes. We gotta mix the dozen donuts. One donut, a reasonable number of donuts is one.
Yeah.
Maybe two. You know, if it's a different flavor.
Yeah, but that's where it starts. Because like then I have two and I'm like, I'll have three and then four. Yep.
What you have to do is you have to get them all like the same or just two flavors. Because if you get like an assortment, then you're like, well, what about the maple bacon? What about the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you know?
Donut? Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
They make them.
I know they do.
I've never had one.
This diet's hurt.
Well, yeah, and it's all right. Yeah, you had an intervention with your doctor. They told you what your cholesterol was. It was not favorable. Jennifer was explaining Barba Club the other day that when you get test results from like a lab, there's like an upper limit, and you have gone beyond the upper limit on where it wouldn't even show up on the reports.
Yeah, which before I got my surgery, maybe not before, actually. Maybe a little after. It was pretty high, too. It was like 200s. So like it's like 50 higher now.
Wow. Maybe that's the nerve that's getting compressed. It's the one that tells you you're full. Stop.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Well.
But we're working on it, so it's not a problem. It's fine. Yes,
we're working on it. The other notable one was the lasagna pizza.
Oh, that's so good. It's ZD pizza.
ZD pizza.
Yeah, that is so good. That's the best. Yeah.
How many slices of that do you have? Six?
Yeah, something like that.
Six gigantic ZD pizza slices.
So that's easy.
And he still comes in and does snatches and clean and jerks and every couple minutes and all the stuff. And
well, I've
never seen you throw up, so it stays down.
No. Murph was close.
Did you eat before the workout?
Nope. I think that was the issue.
Yeah. You needed to have like I'll have a Chipotle bowl and then do Murph. Yeah.
Well, we were doing the workout, and once the barbecue like came in, I felt like I was gonna puke. Like the smell.
Like when you could smell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little rough when the pulled pork started to waft throughout the room, and everyone's like, I gotta finish and get on that last run.
I gotta get outside.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, well, hey, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep making healthy decisions, you know, because we want to be able to get to the Philippines without any complications.
Yep.
So, awesome. Well, Mike, where can people follow you in general?
Just Instagram. It's just Mike stuff on Instagram. That's it.
Do you post? I don't ever see posts.
Sometimes if it's like a good PR.
Okay. All right.
I feel like I'm really critical of my lifts. Like if it's not like when I see it, I'm just like, oh, that was ugly. Like
you're about the aesthetics.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to look good.
Okay. All right. Did you put your front squat one on there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. All right. That's good. Show all the people back.
That was a good one.
Philippines at that one.
Yeah. And the one I did in the Philippines when I PR'd, that was good too.
Yep. I got that one on there too.
Yep.
People can see your lifting, like all your other lifts, on the Barbell Club Instagram.
Yep.
At Albany CrossFit. What about what about Discord? Like, can people play games with you? what games are you playing? And how can people play with you?
I just been playing Counter-Strike. Discord, like my in-game. My
old school Counter-Strike.
Yeah, like Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Have you ever played it?
All I know is like whatever the first one was.
Yeah, so they have like a Global Offensive one, which is like what I mainly play.
Wow.
So yeah. But like my in-game name is Pyro. I made that when I was like 10.
Pyro. Any numbers? Yeah. Just straight Pyro?
Yep, just original. Yeah.
Wow, okay. So yeah. Wow, you're probably the first person to do that. So yeah. Someone now has got to be like Pyro 75, you know?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Like, 1922 or like 1998. Yeah.
Yeah. That's always lame. I don't like to put,
no,
I don't want to put my birth year on my
yeah.
username. Okay, so if anyone wants to play Counter-Strike Global Offensive with Mike, look up Pyro.
Yeah.
Cool. And on Discord too?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. The
same?
Yep.
Awesome. Great. Well, Mike, again, thank you for coming on. It's been great to talk about your story, a very inspiring story. So I hope people listening will be motivated. You know, you're the Albany CrossFit Goggins, you know, so you got to start making videos like that. Like, you need to hit a lift, turn to the camera, be like, stay hard, you know, or yeah, something like that, or stay tight. one of those things.
Stay upright, maybe.
Yeah, stay upright. That could have a lot of different meanings. Maybe not that one.
Yeah.
But cool. Awesome. Well, Mike, I will see you tomorrow in Barbell Club for week two, day three. Yep. More fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Until next time.